I want you to know that you are on the call for day one, the Smartest Telesummit 2008, first day panel discussion on balancing your life. For complete information on this 7-day professional art career conference and for any future projects we launch, just go to www.smartest-telesummit.com. That's smartest spelled S-M, artist, A-R-T-I-S-T, dash, tele, T-E-L-E, summit, S-U-M-M-I-T.com. And before we begin the panel introductions, I want to acknowledge the people who have made Smartest 2008 possible. And those I want to start with first are you, the artists. You who have made this incredible commitment of vision backed up with your time and your money. You know, last year I spoke about the developmental journey of artists from the cultural perspective, from the maverick outsider with no intention of paying attention to business issues or business skills, to the artists in the 1970s and through the 80s and 90s who began to integrate best business practices into their creative lives. And now we're on a new pathway where becoming an artist needs to be a culturally valid career choice. We're a ways out from seeing this vision fully manifested in our present lives, and when we don't see it, it's hard to believe it. But every journey has to start somewhere with the courageous pioneers. And that's how I see you, Smartists, each one of you. You're in the process of bringing the spotlight of your full attention to creating an inner and an outer reality that is integrated with an unstoppable belief in yourselves, your art, and the life you want to create. And the very act of you coming here today, of listening to what is being offered to you at this conference, this act has great potential for a power and a momentum that can carry you over the rough waters. So I want to thank you, each of you, for being here, because without you, Smartest would have no deeper purpose. We would have no shining North Star to lead our way. And the second group I want all of you to know is that behind Smartest is this tiny but fiercely loyal group of people who have saved me many times over as we've worked so hard to put this up for you in a way that is beautiful and purposeful and easy to use. And tricky stuff that any of you who work with the new world of technology know full well, what looks so easy to the user can take a ridiculous amount of time and great skill to put in place. So to Lilia, Amber, Allie, and Tom, you all have my heartfelt gratitude for your patience and loyalty, not to mention the great skill you bring to the table. And for me, artists, I want you to know, it's the deeper reality of what you hold for yourselves and for our collective consciousness in the world that guides me. You hold the power of creative expression out front in full view. You offer it to all of us. You remind all of us who we really are as creative beings, co-creating the world around us. And I am honored in ways you could never imagine to be able to bring this offering of Smartest to you. If you have joined us, you are on the call for the first panel day of the Smartest Telesummit 2008. Okay, we're going to shift gears here. I have a couple of housekeeping notes. If you are experiencing problems with logging into the Inside Resource pages, please email me at info@smartest-telesummit.com, and I'll have our tech staff take care of you. Also, be sure you have that email in your address book. You would be surprised how many people reach out to me only to find that the very thing they need is sitting in their spam folders. Please look there first. There is only one of me and a tiny staff and hundreds of you. And the second thing for housekeeping is, as some of you have already discovered, the SmartWorks forum is up and working on the Inside Resource pages. You can post a topic, you can respond to a discussion, you can ask questions of each other, you can create community, and you can comment on what you're learning here at Smartest. I really want the forum to be a smart and safe haven where you can bring your large issues and your small issues to the table. And in the spirit of safety, I am trusting that each one of you will be respectful and kind, treating others as you would like to be treated. Okay, now I'm ready to turn to our panel of experts. They are going to be answering questions from you on balancing your life. These questions came from the vision questionnaires that a good number of you have filled out, and the rest of you who haven't, I encourage you to go into the Inside Resource pages when this panel is over and continue to fill out those questionnaires. They give such a wonderful wealth of information. This remarkable group gathered here today is going to take your questions and give you their perspective. So you're going to be getting a perspective from six different viewpoints. That is just so invaluable, I can't tell you. And let me tell you, if this group of bios doesn't wow you, nothing will. Smartest is beyond excited to have all of you, my lovely panel, here today. First is creativity coach and author of more than 30 books, Eric Maisel, who holds almost as many degrees. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Ariane. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Eric has a bachelor's in philosophy and psychology, master's degrees, notice the plural, in creative writing and counseling, and a doctorate in counseling psychology. He is also a California licensed marriage and family therapist, a creativity coach, and trainer of creativity coaches. And I'm not finished. I have more. He's a columnist for Art Calendar magazine. He provides segments for Art of the Song Creativity Radio. He hosts two shows on the Personal Life Media Network. Hang on, I'm still not finished. He presents workshops worldwide, including summer workshops in Verona and Paris in 2008. And he lives in San Francisco, where I have my suspicions, but I think his prodigious productivity just might be spurred on by living on top of the rumblings of the San Andreas Fault. His most recent book
Please
are...
don't say that.
Well, I have an old history with earthquakes in Alaska from years ago, so it's always top of my mind when I'm visiting San Francisco. His most recent books are Creativity for Life, Everyday You, and 10 Zen Seconds. In his role of creativity coach, Dr. Maisel has made hundreds of radio, television, and print appearances, appearing on television shows as diverse as Thinking Aloud and To Tell the Truth. He is regularly heard on public radio, including two recent one-hour interviews on Michael Kranzi's show, The Forum. Eric, we are truly honored to have you here.
Great to be here.
Next is Smartest's out-of-the-box organizational expert and creative spirit, Jennifer Loudon. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, I'm out of the box. I'm so glad.
I don't think you ever knew what a box was. That's my suspicion. She is the best-selling author of the Women's Comfort book and five other titles with over 800,000 copies in print worldwide, a number that truly makes me gasp. Her newest book is an innovative process for creating a life you love entitled The Life Organizer, A Woman's Guide to a Mindful Year. But don't worry, all of our male artists, trust me, her wisdom is equally applicable to you. Jennifer is a certified coach, a monthly columnist for Body Plus Soul magazine, a mom, and a creator of learning events and retreats around the country. Her work has been featured in dozens of magazines, including US Today, O Magazine, Yoga Journal, and her media appearances include Oprah. Her blog, free e-zine, and podcast draw thousands of readers each month. I am so glad you are here with us today, Jennifer.
Thank you. Me too.
Claudine Helmuth, hello.
Hello.
You are returning for your second year with Smartest.
I am excited.
Oh, my gosh. Me too. I was so glad you said yes again. Claudine is a nationally recognized collage artist, so trust me, she shares every one of your struggles right along with you. She's in the trenches. She's an author and an illustrator. She combines photos, paint, paper, and pen into quirky, whimsical retro collages that she calls poppets. And if you haven't seen her work, go to her website and look at it. It's just wonderful. Claudine, tell me your website again.
It's collageartist.com.
Collageartist.com. Go there and look at her work. It is truly fun. She has a BFA in Fine Art from the Corcoran College of Art, and Claudine approaches collage the old-fashioned way. She likes the challenge of working with a variety of materials, hands-on, cutting, pasting, and painting her artworks by hand. She's been featured on The Martha Stewart Show, in Mary Engelbrecht's Home Companion magazine, on HDTV's I Want That, and on the DIY Network's program Craft Lab. In addition to creating her artwork full-time, Claudine teaches collage workshops in the U.S. and Canada, which is what she spoke about in 2007. And she has written two books about her techniques, Collage Discovery Workshop and Collage Discovery Workshop Beyond the Unexpected, with over 60,000 sold.
I wish 600,000.
You would like 600,000, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
She's also, I think 60,000 is just an amazing number, personally.
I'll take it.
I think most artists who do books would think that was a pretty nice number to be getting.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah. She's also produced three instructional DVD workshops. Are those available on your website, Claudia?
Yeah, they're on my website. There's a link for the DVDs.
Great. Hey, if you've just joined us, you are on the call for the first panel day of the Smartest Telesummit 2008, and we're introducing the expert panel right now. Next, we have with us Mark Silver. Hi, Mark.
Howdy.
Mark is the founder of Heart of Business. He is a business consultant and healer who brings an active connection with the divine to his work. And I am really happy for all of you to know that Mark has been an incredible business model for me this past year on how to get it right. In fact, I only had the courage to start our own SmartWorks forum because he showed me how to do it on his Oasis forum. It's the only forum I've ever been a member on, and I can't see any point in being a member on any other because it offers me everything I want and shows me how to do it. So I've never thanked you directly, Mark, but I'm going to thank you right now.
Well, thank you. Maybe I'll stop blushing sometime soon.
Mark has worked with hundreds of entrepreneurs, small business owners, corporate managers, and nonprofits in the areas of marketing, sales, employee management, business mission, and just plain taking care of yourself and your business. In the past, he has run a magazine. He's worked as a paramedic. He ran a distribution business. He's been an activist and worked in the nonprofit arena. He has failed horribly in business, he tells me, and he has succeeded beautifully each in turn. He was trained at the Jaffe Institute in organizational and business healing. He is a Sufi healer and teacher. And his vision is that in the process of your business becoming profitable and sustainable, that your heart will deepen in knowing its own truth. Mark lives in Portland, Oregon, with his wife, Holly. Welcome, Mark.
Glad to be here.
And Waverly, have you found your way to us yet?
I'm here.
Yay! I'm so glad. You know, I discovered Waverly also on Mark's forum. It was a last-minute discovery, and I was just thrilled because she is the time maven. She's author of Slow Time, Recovering the Natural Rhythm of Life, a guide for anyone starved for time. And I'm guessing that would be just about everybody on the panel and who's listening today.
Mm-hmm.
The book is based on her years of research and teaching. She helps readers create more spacious and meaningful relationships with time. 10 years ago, Waverly created the School of the Seasons, a website developed to seasonal holidays. And she has a monthly calendar, holiday packets, and articles on how you can align the natural rhythms of time with your life. Over 5,000 people subscribe to her free newsletter and visit her blog, Living in Season. She's presented workshops and classes on time in universities and conferences, including 2 national Take Back Your Time Day conferences. She's always worked with creative people as a writer and a teacher. And right now, Claudine, you'll be interested to know this, she's currently exploring the field of collage.
Oh, great.
Even though her main creative form is writing. So the two of you should really get to know each other a little bit here.
Oh, definitely.
Sounds good.
She's also the author of 4 published historical novels and many articles on season holidays and holiday celebrations. Hi, Waverly. How is it up there in Portland, Oregon? Is it sunny or is it gray?
It's actually Seattle, and it's gray.
Oh, you're in Seattle.
Yes, I'm in Seattle.
You're still on that West Coast. I lived in Salem, Oregon for years, so I'm always curious because the grayness, seriously, it drove me out.
Yes. Well, we had one day of sun this week.
All right, yay. One day of sun. So
and one day of snow. So
and one day of snow.
Very interesting, yeah.
That is interesting. And on our panel is a second returning wonderful expert, Alita DeWall. Hello, Alita.
Hello, Ariane.
Alita shares your artistic instincts and goes beyond because she has integrated her life as an artist with equal parts educator and entrepreneur. She has a successful track record of creating, producing, and selling her own work. So she also brings to the table your artistic instincts and knowing of what it's like to be where you are. She's managed a studio gallery and delivers entrepreneurial workshops and now inspires fine artists to make a better living making art through the Artist Career Training Program, which is like a virtual university for real learning about how to make your art and your life successful. If you have just joined us, you are on the call for the first panel day of the Smartest Telesummit 2008, and I am Ariane Goodwin, your host and moderator. So let's get to these questions. Most of them came, as I said earlier, from the vision questionnaire that the participants have filled out. I did take the liberty to tweak things a little bit so that we could get the most from the speakers today and their answers. Today we're going to focus on the first half of our theme for 2008, Balance Your Life. Tomorrow we'll focus on the second half, Sell Your Art. There, of course, is overlap between these two areas, so in some ways separating them is a bit of an artificial operation, but we're going to do it for the sake of organizing the material. And I did this theme this year. It came from last year's Smartest, where I was struck by how many of our 2007 participants commented on and revealed the struggle they have in their daily lives with trying to integrate all the different things they try to do, from putting food on the table for a family to making the money to put the food on the table for the family, from day jobs, part-time jobs, art, parents who are needing care, kids who are needing care, and just the sense of overwhelm came through so loud and strong that my desire this time around is to really address that in nitty-gritty ways that you can take away things you can do to turn around that overwhelm so that your life becomes one of ease and flow. So this is how it's going to work. The panel day has three sections. Question of the day, for the whole panel, I ask one question and each panel member answers in turn. And then the two-minute challenge, where each panel member gets individual questions. And then at the end, the hot seat. This is one artist's story and the panel's response. Each panel will respond to the hot seat after I explain it. Okay, let's get started with question of the day. Here it is. Panel, imagine yourself as an artist. You're married, with children, and you have a day job. Or children aren't the issue, but you have aging parents to care for, perhaps a sick partner or a family member who's not doing so well. You have shows in one local gallery where you consistently sell one or two pieces every few months. But now you are ready and want wider and better representation. You don't know much about business or marketing. What you know is how to make art. But the rest of your life continually eats up more time than you expect, and working with art ends up last on your list. What are some concrete strategies you have for turning this around? Eric, I'm going to toss the ball into your court first.
Great. Thank you, Ariane. Well, in this example, the artist knows how to make her art, which I take to mean that she gets to her art making pretty much every day, and that she likes what she produces. And this is enough of a rarity in itself that it's worth a round of applause, because we're going to be talking a lot about marketing and skipping over actually getting the artwork done, and that's problematic enough in each artist's life that we don't want to forget how difficult that is. But now she wants to sell more of her art, but she's busy with life and distracted by life. What this means to me is that she must be strategic and decide that rather than doing everything she could be doing or everything that people like us tell her to do, she has to choose where to expend her limited energies and then, very importantly, not guilt trip herself about not getting to everything or not doing everything. The most important thing for her to do is to focus her attention on making one or two new connections in the marketplace, since nothing is more important than having advocates in the marketplace who then advocate for you and really help your career. So instead of worrying about the millions of things she might do to promote her career, the blogs and podcasts and all the rest, I think she should focus on the two or three gallery owners whose galleries really interest her, whether those are local galleries or a continent away, and then try to cultivate a relationship with them by whatever means she can, by using her degrees of separation, through a thought-out campaign of contact, and so on. So I think the main point is that she's got to focus, and she's got to limit what she believes she can do. But then I want to say something different, something that contradicts what I just said. And that is that I think we're at a point in our species, or that's just the kinds of creatures we are, where we're now doing things all the time. And because we're doing things all the time, I think we want to let go of the sentiment that there's ever a moment when things are really done.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is ever really done anymore.
Yeah.
It's a to-do list that never goes away. And I think it's very important to release that desire that the to-do list can never be finished.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I do this for myself is when I do the dishes, I always leave a cup or two out of the dishwasher because I try to remind myself that I'm not really trying to get all the dishes done for all time. I'm just doing a round of dishes, and they're already piling up all over again. So I think it's important to think that way, that there's always that list is not going to go away. So although we want to focus our attention, we also want to remember that where we are now in our history is that there's always the next thing to do.
Yes, excellent. Thank you, Eric. Claudine, what are your thoughts around this?
Well, Eric, that was, like, extremely helpful, even to myself as a working artist. I'm going to write that down and paste that on my wall. those to-do lists. Okay, the way I took it as, and maybe it's just my interpretation of the question, is that she was making work, but maybe she's worried about still, like, not making enough work because, like, her life always gets in the way of her art time, and she wants to prioritize her life so that she maybe gets more art time in her life. And to me, nothing helps you prioritize than a deadline. So for me, what I would do, my first step would be to ask the place that I already sell my work from for maybe a bigger show. Like, not even worry about getting my work out into millions of other galleries yet. Start with what you know and where you already have an audience. So I would ask this small gallery, maybe I could have a one-person show and set a deadline months down the road, which will seem like forever and like you'll have all this time, but then that deadline will be there before you know it, and you will have to, you'll be forced to prioritize, and you will be forced to get the artwork done. So that,
thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I just want to jump in here real quick and just assure the panel members that one of the reasons we're doing this is because I want you to interpret this question in your own way. This is where the artists are going to get the most value, is having this range of perspective. So however you interpret it is going to be absolutely perfect. Thank you, Claudine. I thought that was excellent.
Oh, good. Well, I know I'll dilly-dally around all the time until I have a deadline, so.
There you go. Working off your experience. Holiday, what are your thoughts about this?
Actually, I'm listening to Eric and Claudine and thinking, yeah, I need to remember this because that's why we teach it, and also to try and add something new. When I'm working with artists on this, and it's something I know a lot about because I'm always trying to find more time to make art myself since it's not my main job, the long view is to think about the acronym GRRR, G-R-R-R. First thing is goals, the second is roles, the third is responsibilities, the fourth is relationships. And you don't have to make this boring, but if you think about this, start by painting a picture of where you want to end up and then completely go through. We have a way of going through that. I'll help people do that in the class I'm teaching for the long view to figure out where your destination is. So it's kind of like when you go to the gym and they give you one of those treadmills tests. You put one foot on the treadmill and you start walking and the other one's still on hard ground. So for this artist, it sounds to me like her art, I interpret that her art is in pretty good shape, but as she starts to do more marketing, that's going to be under threat. So the immediate thing, you know, with her background in mind of her vision quest, is to start the day with 15 minutes of learning about marketing. 15 minutes is just a little bit of time, and you can fit it in if you're, you know, not if you're driving, you only listen, but if you're on a commute, read it, if you're on the subway, that kind of thing. Then gradually increase that time over a month to 50 minutes. Now, that sounds like a lot of time, but it's not in the grand scheme of things. And if you start early, you can increase it later. Now, during that time, you would add information about marketing, and you could add some internet research. And then I'd like to piggyback on what Claudine says. When you are also going into your gallery, ask them for feedback and referrals on your work, because that's one of the best ways also to spread the wealth. They'll feel good about it, and as long as you honor your contract with them, then they'll actually get a chance to brag about an artist they represent.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, all of them. Mark, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I've been listening to what everybody's been saying, and I love the breadth of response, and my heart has something that's a little bit different that's coming out of this, and this is something that strikes very personally for me, because those of you who know me know that my lovely wife for the last 8 years has been slowly healing from a chronic illness, and thank God she's much better than she was, but it's eaten up a tremendous amount of time, our focus on that, in addition to growing the business and, you know, God forbid, having some fun. And one of the things that I've really taken to heart in this journey is something that Eric brought up and everyone's kind of echoed, is that we can't have everything, you know? We can't have everything. And I don't really believe in quote-unquote balance. I think that we go through different phases in life, and we go to different different areas of focus at different times. And so the biggest topic that comes up for me around this is grief. And I think that even as we're excitedly moving towards things and excitedly full of stuff, when we have to say no to certain things. And saying no involves allowing ourselves to grieve for what we're letting go of. And without that grief, there's no spaciousness to move into the creativity of action. And when we do move into the creativity of action, the other piece that I want to add in is to echo what Aletta was saying about learning. Marketing has an incredible amount of artistry and creativity in it. And yet, when you first start out in it, if you don't know much about it, it would be kind of me like approaching collage or painting, which I know nothing about. I'd have to learn kind of the basics. And so rather than trying to jump directly into marketing, what I would advise someone to do when they find that spaciousness in their heart to approach it is to say, you know what, instead of doing marketing, I'm going to learn about marketing. And as I learn about it and learn how it connects with my vision, then I'll be able to infuse my creativity into it and see some effectiveness.
So far, I just have to tell you, the four of you have just really moved me, each one of you bringing such a richness of perspective to this question. Waverly. Hello.
Hello.
I'd love to know, because this is sort of your bailiwick, the time issue, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about this.
Okay. Yes, I love piggybacking on what Mark just said, because I'm working with a group right now on setting goals for the new year, and I realize that this is part of the difficulty of that process is we want to just pile on all this new stuff without letting go of any of the old stuff, and that being able to say goodbye and grieve and allow ourselves some spaciousness around our lives. That's an important vision, I think, to have at the same time we're moving into more active, you know, marketing or creating. I do think what came to my mind when I heard this question was what I have been doing over the last 3 years. So I'm just going to tell a personal story, which is I am a writer, but I still have to market my writing, and I find that act extremely difficult, which is one reason I found Mark. About 3 years ago, I decided I was just going to devote 1 month to marketing because I just didn't enjoy it, or I thought I didn't enjoy it. And so I set aside the month of May. It just seemed perfect for me. It was spring. I felt like it was a time of going out and making connections and putting myself out in a way. I just focused on that month in doing different kinds of activities that would promote my writing, and it was a very satisfying process. I could feel like I left it behind at the end of that time, that I had explored it and, you know, had made many useful contacts, and then I could spend the rest of my year creating, which was what I enjoy much more. And that worked for me, but I did find that I needed a more regular I guess I'm going to say routine around submitting. So the next year I set as my goal to submit something every month. And I failed miserably at that one, I have to say. And then I forgave myself for that. And then this year, speaking of New Year's resolutions, my New Year's resolution is to do one marketing effort every week. And I have a list in the back of my calendar, and it's anytime something comes to me, I just write it on the list, and every week I just look at the list and I say, which one of these seems fun and easy to me right now? And then I do that one, and I'm finding it surprisingly joyful process, whereas before it was extremely painful to get myself to do these acts. So.
Well, Waverly, I love the whole concept of fun and easy. I know there's a lot of people would belie that because they think without real effort you can't get anywhere. But I don't think fun and easy means you don't put effort into it. I just think you mean, like Mark speaks of, that spaciousness in your heart, that you open up the focus, you take it off the difficult, and you just put it on the fun and easy. Just kind of like you shift from looking at the mountain to down at the flower on the garden. It's just this shift that you make.
It makes it feel natural instead of like, oh,
exactly.
This is something I'm supposed to do. Yeah.
And it doesn't change the amount of effort you actually do, but it changes your relationship to the effort.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. That's Jennifer, my dear, how would you address this artist?
Oh, well, I would give this artist a balm for this ache that everyone has just so eloquently already spoken about, this ache that you're going to get done, you're going to get there, there's even somewhere to get to, and I would just open them to this wonderful, wonderful realization that they are perfectly, perfectly okay right now. Because it's not until we remember that we can move forward, because we're just in that desperate, hungry ghost place of, if I can just learn it, if I can just figure it out, then I'll finally what? I mean, there is no finally, right? So what really jumps out at me in the question is, eats up more time than you expect. Oh, yes, there's those expectations. So what I would say is notice where you are and notice what your story is so you can choose something different. Because so much of the way the question is written to me reminds me of myself when I'm in the place of forgetting I get to choose this life. It's not something that's happening to me. I'm not the victim of it. So you might start by even doing one of those old-fashioned but incredibly helpful time diaries for, yes, even a whole week. Where's the time going? We know when we write down what we eat, it reveals tremendous amount of information. We didn't think we're eating all those chocolate-covered pretzels, but we are. So where's the time actually going? Because so often, especially for women, but also for men, especially younger men, I find that we think that we're spending so much time on what's most important, but boy, did that 2 hours of looking around at all those different blogs and shopping on Amazon or, you know, taking care of things for other people that they could be doing for themselves. Where did that time actually go? And then I loved what Waverly said about pleasure. What do I want to do today towards making my art? What do I want to do today towards marketing? Where's the desire that can lead me forward? Now, let me be very clear. There's a difference between desire and mood, right? Our mood may be, all I want to do is crawl in bed and cover my head. But my desire is to get my work done and out in the world. And we have to keep remembering that desire leads us forward, and mood can rather obscure the territory.
Uh-huh.
To those chocolate pretzels. So I say ground your life in some facts, do a time diary, but most of all, really, really gentle self-love. Boy, it's all good. It really is.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Jennifer. I'm having a hard time wanting to just move on here. I just want to sit and soak up these rays all six of you have offered. Each one has their own power and their own beauty. If you've just joined us, by the way, you are on the call for the first panel day of the Smartest Telesummit 2008, and our experts are addressing questions on balancing your life. We're going to move time is, in some real respect, marching on here for us. We're going to move on to the 2-minute challenge. here's where I pose a question to each of you in turn, and you literally have 2 minutes. I've got a stopwatch here. to answer these questions. Eric, we're going to start with you. This one artist wrote, saying, I struggle with paper cluttering out my studio and find myself unable to make decisions about where to begin or what to do with the mess, but I know it holds me back. What would you suggest?
Well, I think the first thing is to visualize order. And this is a sort of affirmation visualization where you picture something that isn't true quite yet, but that you hope will be true. So the first step is, in your mind's eye, you picture your studio exactly as you would wish it to be. And the second step is the biggest one. The second step is to recognize that anxiety is what's keeping you from making the organization that you want. And you wouldn't think that something as innocent as decluttering would produce real anxiety, but it seems that it really does. So what this means is that you need to manage your anxiety before you can tackle your studio work and your studio organization. And so you might try any of the following to help manage your anxiety. Each is time-tested. Each really works. One thing is just to take a deep breath, about 5 seconds on the inhale, 5 seconds on the exhale. So just deep breathing may be all that's standing between you and getting your space organized. A second is to have some positive cognition, to say something to yourself like, I can do this, it's no problem, no big deal. Some set of words that work for you to remind you that this isn't a big deal, that it really is just organizing your space. A third anxiety management technique that works is what's called a discharge technique, where you silently scream. You don't actually scream because the police would come, but you sort of open your mouth and make a real scream-looking sort of face, and that actually discharges stress.
Oh, darn, I want to scream.
I know. And then there are all kinds of relaxation techniques where you just rub your shoulder or you visualize yourself in a calm or soothing place. So all of these are things that work to reduce anxiety, and what every artist needs, I think, is at least one anxiety management tool that actually works for her, that she knows she can trust, because it's that little tendril of anxiety that keeps us from doing things like organizing our studio. Just to finish this thought, I think we all know that the thing that we do if we're anxious is we avoid the situation. If we're anxious about flying, we try not to fly. If we're a little bit anxious about organizing our studio, we go do something else. It's really that simple. So that's why we want this anxiety management technique. And then the third thing is, having managed your anxiety, you want to pick a first task and think only about that task, about sorting one small pile of papers. And then once you get into it, once you start sorting that one pile, we all know this is true, then the rest will take care of itself.
I have an odd way of doing this myself. My desk ends up with just littered with paper. And every once in a while what will happen is I'll just start at one end and I'll just start picking up the paper and I'll put it all in one incredible pile. And then I'll just take the first thing off the top of the pile and look at it and make a decision what I'm supposed to do with it.
Exactly.
And it's wonderful therapy because suddenly my desk is clean in like less than 2 minutes. 2 minutes of my
nothing,
desk looks fabulous.
Nothing has really happened, but your desk...
Yeah, and then there's this one, and then it's one pile instead of 25. That's the other thing I do to myself. It's like, oh, there's this one pile there. That's no problem. Thanks so much, Eric. Claudine, here's the next question. This artist says, I don't know how to generate support from the people around me so they understand why I'm choosing to do art and not be there 24/7 to support them. Ooh, does this not sound familiar to a lot of us?
I know. I think we all, every single one of us has people in our lives that maybe are not as supportive of what we do as we would like them to be. And so that's like the million-dollar question. I think part of you would need to find those people in your life that are supportive. Surely there's a friend or one family member or somebody that you can create an alliance with that does support what you do. And if it's a practical matter of your spouse or somebody like that just not allowing you enough time to work because they would prefer that you do other things like make them food or something like that, then you need to have a frank sit-down talk with them, and maybe there's a trade-off involved. Maybe there's I need of every Sunday afternoon to myself to do this. And in exchange, I'll let you do something that you like to do or something like that. I mean, that's like the only practical situation that I could think of. But I think it's also good for this person to know that we all have people that do not support us in what we do. I mean, I have people in my life that actively do not like the kind of work that I create, and they are close family members. And yeah, that totally hurts. It hurts so bad, but it doesn't stop me or prevent me from continuing to make the kind of work that I think I should be making.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thought that to piggyback off of that that comes to me is to support. If you're not able to find somebody really close to you that can support you, reach out into your community and find a supportive base there.
And through the internet, there's a lot of message boards and groups of people that are interested in all kinds of art, from landscape painting to mixed media art. And you can find people there that, even if they're not right there, like you said, physically to support you, they can support you through email and message boards and things like that, so that you know you're not alone.
Great. Thank you, Claudia.
Due to its length, this panel discussion has been split into two parts. Please find part two on the next CD.